Shalom and welcome to Rambam Yomi. This is Rabbi Mati Novik. Join me as we learn the Rambam's Mishnah Torah, one perek each day. Today we'll be learning Hilchot Shabbat Perek Hey. In this perek, the Rambam completes the halachot pertaining to Erev Shabbat with a topic of lighting candles before Shabbat. By candle, we refer not necessarily to a wax candle, as is often used nowadays, but to a receptacle containing oil and a wick, referred to in Chazal simply as a ner. The perek begins with a discussion of the mitzvah of hadlakat nerot Shabbat, including details of which types of oil and wicks may be used for this mitzvah. It continues with a list of restrictions on how a lit ner may be used on Shabbat, based on concerns that certain uses of the ner may lead to the melachot of kibuy and havara, extinguishing and kindling. Finally, the perek ends with a description of the tkiot, the shofar blasts, which were sounded in Jewish cities just before Shabbat to let people know when exactly the day would begin. We note that many of the halachot in this perek have their source in the perek of Bameh Madlikin, the second perek of Masechet Shabbat, whose mishnayot many have the custom to say on Friday evenings as part of Kabbalat Shabbat. The observant listener will hear several phrases and details which should sound familiar to anyone who recites that perek of mishnayot every week. Halacha Aleph. Hadlakat ner b'Shabbat eina rishut im ratza madlik v'im ratza eino madlik. V'lo mitzvah she'no chayav lirdof achareya ad she'yasena, kigon eruvei chatzerot o nitlat yadayim la'achila. Ela chova. V'echad anashim v'echad nashim chayavin liyot bevateihem ner daluk b'Shabbat. Afilu ein lo ma yochal, shoel al ptachim v'lokeach shemen u'madlik haner. Sheze bichlal oneg Shabbatu, v'chayav levarech kodom hadlaka, asher kedishanu b'mitzotav, v'tzivanu lahadlik ner shel Shabbat, kederech shemavarech al kol hadvarim shuchayav behen midivrei sofrim. The mitzvah of lighting Nerot Shabbat is not optional, that one may choose to do if he wishes, or decide to opt out of. Nor is it the type of mitzvah which is required only under certain circumstances, like Netilat Yadayim depends on eating bread, or setting up an Eruv Chatzerot depends on how one uses his courtyard on Shabbat. Rather, there is an absolute obligation for every man and woman to have a ner lit in their house on Shabbat. Even if one doesn't have money for it, he must ask others for money in order to buy oil to light, as this is part of the requirement of Oneg Shabbat, meaning he can only enjoy Shabbat if his house is illuminated and he doesn't need to eat in the dark. We note that in Perek Lamed, the last Perek of Hilchot Shabbat, the Rambam discusses the two mitzvot of Oneg Shabbat and Kvod Shabbat, and there he includes lighting a ner not with a mitzvah of Oneg, like he says here, but as part of Kvod Shabbat, honoring the Shabbat day. While Oneg Shabbat relates to physical enjoyment of the day of Shabbat itself, Kvod Shabbat relates to the ways in which we honor Shabbat by preparing for it in advance. Lighting a ner accomplishes both results. It creates a beautiful atmosphere in the home with which to welcome Shabbat, and it provides light to use for one's basic needs on Shabbat evening. The Rambam doesn't discuss how many nerot should be lit, nor where in the house they should be located. The Shulchan Aruch quotes the custom to light at least two nerot, corresponding to the two formulations of the fourth of the Aseret HaDibrot, which commands us to keep Shabbat, Zachor and Shamor. Many women have the custom to add on to these two nerot an additional one for each son or daughter, so that the total number of nerot is equal to the number of members of the immediate family, including the parents. Because the purpose of the nerot is to benefit from their light as part of Oneg Shabbat, Poskim write that one should ensure that there is some light, even an electric one, illuminating every room that he plans to use on Shabbat evening. But the nerot Shabbat themselves, the Ramah rules, should be lit where they will provide light during the Shabbat meal, as this is the primary focus of Oneg Shabbat. I hope to return to the question of using electric lights for Nerot Shabbat in a later shir. Before lighting, one recites the bracha of Asher Kedishanu Mishnavi Sivanu Lahadlik Ner Shabbat. As we've seen already more than once, the language of Asher Kedishanu Mishnavi Sivanu can be used even for rabbinic mitzvot, since the Torah commands us to heed the authority of Beit Din. The Rambam writes that the bracha is made before lighting, similar to other mitzvot on which the bracha is made in advance. The Ramah rules that it is better to make the bracha after lighting, as the words of the bracha themselves, referring to the ner as a ner Shabbat, may be a form of Kabbalat Shabbat, accepting the start of Shabbat on the part of the individual lighting, after which it is forbidden to perform the malacha of lighting a ner. But how can the bracha be recited after the lighting, if a Birkat HaMitzvah must always precede the mitzvah itself, the principle of Over L'Asiyatan? The Rama writes that one should cover her eyes with her hands while making the bracha, so that she only receives benefit from the light after the bracha. And in this manner, the bracha is considered to have been made over lasiatan. Ashkenazim and many Sfaradim follow the psak of the Rama to light before saying the bracha, though Rav Avadya Yosef rules that Sfaradim should follow the Rambam and make the bracha before lighting. The idea that Hadlakat Neirot is an act of Kabbalat Shabbat goes back to the time of the Gaonim, and though the Rambam makes no mention of it, the Shulchan Aruch quotes in the name of the Bahag the suggestion that Hadlakat Neirot Shabbat is considered Kabbalat Shabbat for the entire household, so that no one in the house can do melacha after the Neirot are lit. The Rama concludes that only the woman lighting accepts Shabbat by lighting the Neirot, while for everyone else who goes to Shul, this takes place later, when they finish the Mizmorim of Kabbalat Shabbat, which are said before Ma'ariv. The woman lighting can also delay her Kabbalah by making a condition to that effect, even just in her mind. This is very relevant, for example, if she plans to travel by car to Shul after lighting candles. Halacha Bet. Mutar lishtamesh l'ner ha-Shabbat, v'hu shelo yeh ha-davar tzarich iyun harbeh. Unlike Neirot Chanukah, it is permitted to use the light of a Ner Shabbat. As the Rambam said in Halacha Aleph, the purpose of the Ner is Oneg Shabbat, to provide light for physical use. But one may not use the Ner for an activity which requires close examination near a source of light, as there is a concern that he will adjust the Ner in order to increase the light and thereby perform either the Malacha of Havara or that of Kibui. We'll get to more details of this rabbinic prohibition in Halacha Yudalid. Halacha Gimel. Hamadlik tzarich lehadlik mibaod yom kodem shkiat hachama, v'nashim mitzuvot al davar ze yater min hanashim, lefi shehen mitzuyot bebatim, v'hen asukot bimlechet habayit. V'af al pichen tzarich ha'ish lehaziran v'livdok otan al kach, v'lomar l'anshei beito ere shabbat kodem shetachshach hadliku ataner. Safek chashecha v'nichnas ha'shabbat, safek lo nichnas, ein madlikin. The Neirot Shabbat must be lit before sundown. Even though fundamentally the mitzvah applies to everyone, Chazal charged women with the responsibility to perform it more than men, because women are at home and involved in domestic duties with greater frequency. The husband is nonetheless charged with telling his wife, or whoever is in charge of lighting the Neirot Shabbat, at the proper time before sundown, that it is now time to light them. If there is any doubt whether the sun has already gone down and Shabbat has begun, we do not light, as this risks violation of a melacha d'oraita. In the next halacha, the Rambam clarifies the status of this time period just after sundown. Halacha Dalet. Mi shetishka chama ad sheyirau shlosha kochavim beinoniim, hu zman hanikra bein hashmashot b'chol makom, v'hu safek min hayom, safek min halayla, v'danin bo lahachmir b'chol makom, ulfichach ein madlikin bo, v'haoseh melacha bein hashmashot erev Shabbat, ubein hashmashot b'motzei Shabbat b'shogeg, chayav chatat mikol makom. וכוכבים אלו לא גדולים הנראים ביום, ולא קטנים שאין נראים אלא בלילה. ומי שיראו שלושה כוכבים אלו הבינוניים, הרי זה לילה ודאי. The period of time from sundown until three medium-sized stars are visible, meaning stars which are not bright enough to see during the day, nor too small to see except after dark, is called Bein HaShmashot, and we are stringent in all cases to consider it possibly day and possibly night. Recall the application of this, which we saw in Hilchot Mila. A baby born during Bein HaShmashot, either at the start of Shabbat or at the end of Shabbat, cannot have his brit the following Shabbat, because a brit milah overrides Shabbat only when this is definitely the eighth day. So, we may not light the Neirot Shabbat during Bein HaShmashot, and if someone does melacha during Bein HaShmashot on both ends of the day, then he is chayav a korban chatat. This is so because if Bein HaShmashot is considered night, then he did melacha on Shabbat at the start of the day. And if Bein HaShmashot is considered day, then he did melacha at the end of the day. I hope to return in another shiur to a further discussion of Bein HaShmashot and when exactly Shabbat starts and ends. Recall that a ner, in the language of Chazal, typically refers to a clay receptacle containing oil or some other flammable material as fuel, with a small opening in which a wick is placed. Starting in Halacha He, the Rambam discusses the materials which may be used for Neirot Shabbat, starting with the wicks and then the fuel. Petila shemadlikin ba leShabbat ein osinota midavar shehaur mesachsechet bo, kigon se'ar, v'tzemer u'meshi, v'tzemer erez u'fishtan shalonu patz, v'siv shel dekel u'minei ha'etz harakim v'chayotzei behen, ela midavar shahaur nitleit bo. The wick must be made from materials which produce a steady flame, not one which flickers. Acceptable materials include cotton and flax which has been separated into strands, but not wool, silk, or unprocessed flax. Skip ahead to Halacha Chet, where the Rambam says something similar about the oil which may be used, and explains both of these requirements. Shemen shemadlikin bo la-shabbat, sarich shiyehe nimshach achar ha-ptila, aval shmanim she'ein nimshachim achar ha-ptila, kigon zefet v'sha'ava v'shemen kik v'alya v'chelev, ein madlikin behen, umipnei ma ein madlikin biftilot she'ein ha'ur nitleit behen, v'lo bishmanim she'ein nimshachin achar ha-ptila, gzera shema ye or haner afel, v'yateota b'sha'a shiyishtamesh la'ora. The oil or other fuel used for kindling the wick must be of the type which is drawn after the wick, excluding things like tar, melted wax, and fat from an animal's body or tail. The reason we don't use a wick which causes the flame to flicker, or fuel which isn't drawn properly after the wick, is based on a concern that someone using the light will instinctively move it to try to steady the flame and improve it, and thereby violate either the malacha of mavir, if he causes the flame to increase, or mechabe, extinguishing, if he causes the flame to weaken or go out altogether. To summarize some of the halachot about the wicks and oils from halachot Vav and Zayin, and halachot Tet through Yud Aleph. One may not wrap an outer acceptable wick material around an inner unacceptable one in order to make the wick thicker, as this means that the inner material will also light and produce a flickering flame. This can only be done if the purpose of the inner material is to support the outer wick so that it doesn't collapse. A small object like a piece of salt or a bean may be placed on the opening of the ner containing the wick so that the flame is weaker and lasts longer, and we are not concerned that he may remove it later in order to increase the flame. In general, one may not use a mixture of acceptable fuel for the ner together with unacceptable fuel, as this kind of mixture is not drawn after the wick and does not produce a strong flame. One may not use as fuel a substance called itran, an oily liquid which is a byproduct when making tar, as this smells bad, and the point of Nerot Shabbat is for the person to remain in their vicinity in order to use their light. One may also not use tzori, balsam oil, which has a very fragrant smell, both because he may take some out for some other use, which would be a form of kibui, as we'll see in a moment, and because it is highly flammable. Anything highly flammable is dangerous and should not be used to light an air even during the week. Oils which derive from sesame and radishes, shemen shumshamin and shemen sinonot, may be used even if these aren't of the highest quality, as the only forbidden oils are the ones mentioned before, which Chazal specified as off-limits for the mitzvah of Nerot Shabbat. Halacha Yud Bet. Lo yitein adam kli minukav malei shemen al pi aner bishvil sheyehem anatef, v'lo yimalei ka'ara shemen v'yitnana b'tzad aner v'yitein rosh ha'ptila b'tocha bishvil shetehi shoevet. Gzera shema yikach min ha'shemen sheba kli, sharei lo nim'as b'aner, v'asur lehanot b'shabat min ha'shemen shehudlak bo, v'afilu kavta aner, v'afilu nataf min aner, mipnei shehu mukze machmat isur. V'im chibera kli sheyesh bo ha'shemen el aner b'sid uv'charsit v'chayotze behen mutar. If oil is placed in such a manner that left alone it will drip by itself into a ner and allow the flame in the ner to continue burning, then it is forbidden to take from this oil on Shabbat for any other use, as this is considered kibui, extinguishing, in the sense that it causes the flame to go out sooner. Because of this, one may not set up his ner Shabbat in such a way that oil from another receptacle drips into the ner Shabbat, or is drawn to the wick in some other way, because someone may take from this oil during Shabbat for some other use in violation of kibui. This is only permitted if the second receptacle is attached to the ner with clay or cement, so that it is clear to anyone who sees it that the oil is meant for the ner. We are never concerned that someone will take oil out of the ner itself, as the ner receptacle is typically dirty, and the oil inside it is considered ma'us, disgusting and unusable for other purposes. Any oil which drips out of the ner during Shabbat, or which is left inside the ner after the flame burns out, is muktzeh for the remainder of Shabbat. This is called muktzeh machmat isur. Anything which was forbidden to use at the start of Shabbat is muktzeh through the end of Shabbat. The next halacha relates to the muktzeh status of this oil. Ein notnin kli tachat haner lekabel bo shemen b'shabbat, sharei mevatel hakli mehichano, v'im nitano mibaod yom mutar, ונותנים כלי תחת הנר בשבת לקבל בו ניצוצות, מפני שאין בהן ממש, והרי לא ביטלו מלטלטלו. ואסור ליתן לתוכו מים, ואפילו מערב שבת, מפני שהוא מקרב את כיבוי הניצוצות. One may not put a kli underneath a nair in order to collect any oil which drips out of it. This is because the kli thereby becomes mukta itself, as it contains mukta oil inside it and so cannot be moved. This isser, which we'll encounter again later in Hilchot Shabbat, is known as mevatel kli mehichano, nullifying the use of a kli, which is akin to destroying it by making it mukta. Mevatel kli mehichano is forbidden only on Shabbat itself, so a kli may be placed under the nair before Shabbat in order to collect the dripping oil. Even on Shabbat, one may put a kli under the nair in order to catch sparks, as these are considered to have no substance and don't make the kli mukta. But it is forbidden to put water in this kli even before Shabbat, as this hastens the extinguishing of the sparks and thus is a form of kibui. We mentioned back in Halacha Bet that certain activities may not be done by the light of a ner Shabbat out of a concern that one will tilt the ner, shema yateh, in order to improve the light by increasing the flame. Starting in Halacha Yudalid, the Rambam lists these problematic activities. Ein polin lo'or haner, v'lo korin lo'or haner, v'afilu gavoa shtei komot, v'afilu asara batim ze al gav ze, v'haner ba'elyona, lo yikra v'lo yifalei lo'oro batachtona, shema yishkach v'yateh. Vim hayu shnaim korin binyan echad, mutarin likrot lifnei aner, shekol echad mehen mazkir et chavero im shachach, aval lo bishnei inyanot, shekol echad mehen tarud binyano. One may not pull lice out of clothing by the light of the Ner Shabbat, nor read by its light, as these typically require being very close to the flame, and there exists the concern of Shema Yateh. However, these activities are forbidden even if in some specific case there is no practical likelihood of Shema Yateh, like if the Ner is very high up and out of the person's reach. If two people are reading from the same text, then they may do so by the light of the Ner Shabbat, as each will remind the other not to inadvertently tilt the Ner to increase the light. So too, the Rambam continues in Halacha Tetvav, may children read by the light of the Ner Shabbat in the presence of their Rebbe, as he will ensure that they don't tilt the candle. But the Rebbe himself may not read, as it cannot be assumed that the children will intervene if he instinctively moves to tilt the Ner. In Halacha Tet Zayin, the Rambam adds that one may not examine similar-looking utensils close to a Ner Shabbat in order to distinguish between them, as this too requires close examination and may lead to adjusting the flame. For this reason, a servant who is not a regular worker in a certain home may not examine utensils near the flame, as it takes more effort for him to distinguish between them than it takes for a regular servant who is more familiar with the utensils. Even a regular servant should not examine the utensils next to a nair filled with olive oil, as we are concerned that he may take from the olive oil for some other use. Halacha Yud Zayin. Nair sha'achorei hadelet, asur liftoach hadelet vilinol kedarko, mipneshu mechabehu, ela yizaher b'sha'ah shepotech u'b'sha'ah shenoel, v'asur liftoach et hadelet keneged hamedura b'shabat, kidei shetehi haruach menashevet ba, v'af al pi she'ein sham ela ruach hametzuya, u'manichin haner shel shabat al gabei ilan hamechubar lakarka, v'eino choshesh. If a nair is located behind a door to a house, or on the inner side of the door, then one may not open and close the door in the normal manner, as the wind caused by the movement of the door may extinguish the flame. He may only open or close the door very slowly. Conversely, if a bonfire is located opposite a door to a house, then the door may not be open to let in any wind, even if the wind outside is of ordinary strength, as this may fan the flames of the bonfire and make it burn stronger. Since the ner is mukta on Shabbat, one may place it before Shabbat on the branch of a tree, as we are not concerned that anyone will climb the tree in order to get to it. Climbing a tree is rabbinically prohibited on Shabbat and Yom Tov, as we'll see in Perek Chaf Aleph. Interestingly, as we'll see in Hilchot Yom Tov Perek Dalid, the din on Yom Tov is more stringent. Because the ner isn't mukta on Yom Tov, as lighting a candle is permitted on Yom Tov in certain situations, the concern of climbing the tree exists, and so the ner may not be placed on the branch of a tree before Yom Tov. The perek ends with the custom, no longer practiced in its original form, to blow the shofar 6 times on Erev Shabbat in order to let people know that Shabbat was approaching in several stages. The first tkiah, blown at the time of Mincha, which the Rambam in his Perush HaMishnayot explains to refer to 2.5 hours before sundown, is the signal for those laboring in the fields to stop their work, gather together, and enter the city as a group. This was either a form of Kvod Shabbat, or to ensure that no one stayed behind to work beyond the time of the tekiah. The second tekiah, about an hour later, marked the time for shopkeepers to close their stores. At the sound of the third tekiah, soon before sundown, all food in the process of cooking was taken off the flame. Anything requiring hatmana was insulated, as per the laws we learned in the last perek, and Neirot Shabbat were lit. A few minutes later, the final three blasts were blown in succession, tekiah, truah, tekiah, at which point all melacha ceased and Shabbat was considered to have begun. The Rambam adds that on Motzei Shabbat, there was also a tekiah after dark, to let people know that they could resume doing melacha. But the Magid Mishnah points out that most other Rishonim disagree, and the Shulchan Aruch makes no mention of this tekiah. When Yom Tov came out on Friday, it was necessary to be tokeah at the end of the day, just before Shabbat, because cooking and other food-related melachot are permitted on Yom Tov, but forbidden on Shabbat. But if Yom Tov came out on Sunday, there was no need to be tokeah as Yom Tov approached, as people were already abstaining from melacha because of Shabbat. The Rambam points out that in this sense, the tekiot and havdalah are relevant in opposite situations. We say havdalah when we transition from a higher kedusha to a lower kedusha, like from Shabbat to Yom Tov or to Chol, but not when going from lower kedusha to higher kedusha, like from Yom Tov to Shabbat. We'll learn more about havdalah in Perek Kaftet. As we just explained, tekiot are blown only in the other direction, when going from lower kedusha to higher kedusha, in order to notify the people of the added Isur Melacha. When Yom Kippur comes out on Friday or Sunday, an impossibility in the calendar we use nowadays, but very much possible when the new month was established by Kiddush HaChodesh, witnesses reporting the sight of the new moon to the Beit Din, there was no need to sound the tekiot between one day and the next, as Shabbat and Yom Kippur have identical levels of Isur Melacha. As we mentioned, this custom is not practiced anymore in its original form of six blasts of the shofar, but the Rama writes of an established custom in many cities for some communal leader, a gabbai or shliach tzibur, to announce the imminent onset of Shabbat throughout the town. Nowadays, there are alarm systems, which sound a siren shortly before Shabbat begins in several cities in Israel with large religious populations, like Jerusalem, Bnei Brak, and parts of other cities including Tzfat, Ashdod, and Ramat Beit Shemesh.
Thank you for joining me in learning today's perek of the Mishnah Torah. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas you'd like to share, I'd be happy to hear from you. Send me an email at mtorahyomi@gmail.com. That's M as in Mishnah, Torah, T-O-R-A-H, Yomi, Y-O-M-I, @gmail.com. Come back tomorrow as we continue with our next perek.